Darren's not related to him.
Hey, we love fat food.
I know, I do too. I also love my little puppy dog. No, I'm just kidding. Are you ready? We were talking about...
Hey, Oli, before you start, so you're not insulted, he's got to leave right at 8. So if he gets...
Well, would you think that would insult me?
No, I know. I'm just, you know, we're already insulted.
All right. As you've all heard me say before, it would be easier to be a believer in Afghanistan where you would be killed if you profess Christ than it is here. And the reason is that it's always been true throughout history that Christianity always flourished when the hardship and the suffering and the days of the martyrs, if you will. But when it becomes the culturally accepted norm, then everything becomes gray. And culture co-opts Christianity. And we have buildings that are called houses of God, which is taking the name of the Lord in vain. We have Christian bookstores, or Christian television stations, which is all taking the name of the Lord in vain, because you're putting his name on something that changes with time. Well, we do the same thing with Sunday. We call it the Sabbath day, Sunday. But the Sabbath isn't a day of the week, it's the life of Christ. And in that life, we have ceased from our own labors. We have entered into his rest. Now, in the ancient church, they held a Passover every Saturday in case that any of the people in the body had begun to adopt the world systems again. Then they celebrated the Passover, which was there because the gift of God was eternal life. Then anything that they were doing that was time dependent, they would celebrate their exodus from it on the Agape Feast. So that again you'd start the new day, which is always the eighth day, is always the day of resurrection, free from any burdens, so that you would be light as a feather. And the Sabbath, the idea of the Sabbath, if you read, you know, Hebrews or today, well, it's still called today, exhort one another daily. To what? What do you exhort him? To behave? To be nice? You exhort them to return to his finished work, to return away from, or to turn away from the deception of living a life that is constrained by time. Because by definition, anything that you're doing in which you are constrained by time or controlled by time, it has to become idolatry. Because you have to have an image of what you want to do, and you have to have a goal in which to do that. And so instead of loving the Lord or giving breath only to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind, you have now got a competing alliance or a competing thing that's keeping you away from that moment of dependence. Now, there were 46, to show the severity of it, there were 46 death penalties for different ways of breaking the Sabbath. To show that the Sabbath wasn't a day of the week, the Sabbath was a life. And we have all these ridiculous arguments of whether the Sabbath was on Saturday or Friday or Sunday. It's majoring on the minors. The not celebration of the Sabbath as your life is what we call idolatry. And that's why we have separated our spiritual world from our secular world. And we have made it permissible to live in two worlds. So we have a foot in each world. And so did everybody did, because you were hardwired to do that. But at least in the ancient church, you celebrated a Passover every week, so that in case you had been seduced, you could repent of it and return to this place without time. Now this is critical. You've heard me talk about this before, that if anything that you are giving importance to, anything that you're giving breath to, changes with time, or is time in any way time dependent, then you are an idolater. Doesn't matter how good it is, doesn't matter how valuable you think it might be, doesn't matter what kind of a cause it is. And idolatry is what we're talking about in the preparation for Passover, to remove all idolatry. Now, Jesus, it's said of him that he is the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't say he's going to teach you the truth. It doesn't say he's going to show you the way. And it doesn't say he's going to give you life. He is those things. Now, everybody here, we forget this. Everybody thinks they're a truth seeker, so they're going to be honest. And we found out with a perfect clarity that Gary Buckner is an honest liar. But so is everyone else. Because from God's perspective, I don't care what man's is, from God's perspective, truth is the Hebrew word emet. And it means that which doesn't change with time. Doesn't matter whether I'm trying to tell the truth. You never tell the truth, because it's not in you to do it. Not from God's perspective. But what I want you to see today is the celebration of the Sabbath isn't a day of the week. It's the revelation of the life of Christ, which is your life. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I want to talk about some of the Sabbath things here. What? You're thinking I'm something, you're going into your gelling mode.
You're invading my space. The idea of seeking the truth is fine. You seek the truth, but when you find it, you stop seeking it and you begin to be it. You either are in him, or you're still ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of its finished.
We talked yesterday about this whole idea of what a Sabbath day's journey is. A Sabbath day's journey is you couldn't travel more than, essentially what you could see clearly, it was 2,000 cubits. And so if you traveled for any purpose beyond more than that 2,000 cubits, which is really your like a neighborhood, it defines what's then you're violating the Sabbath, which is a death penalty. Now, it doesn't mean, I mean that's the type, that's the picture. And if Christ is the Sabbath, what it really comes down to is it has to take care of your traveling in your mind. You are going in your mind, taking God to a place that he isn't. God is always now, but your mind always takes you to all of these, and every journey you take in your mind is a violation of the Sabbath day's journey. That's why we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought has to stand against it is finished. Well, what would that do to us? What would that do to if we really live this way? Well, it would make it clear to you what idolatry is. I mean, if you study nothing else in the Bible but the Sabbath day, you would come to the revelation of Christ in his fullness. Now, do you understand the 2,000 cubits? Remember Harry got in a trip yesterday because he...
As you're talking,
he went 10,000.
I'm remembering the one sufficient unto the day is the evil that I will perpetrate in this day. I don't have to go to tomorrow. That's evil enough just thinking about this afternoon.
In the ancient law, the keeping of the Sabbath had precedence over everything. Even the building of the tabernacle. Because the tabernacle is just the type, the parable of Christ. And so, the Sabbath was a more perfect parable. Just like all of the offerings that are there, it says, by one offering we've been perfected forever. Well, by one Sabbath we have also been perfected forever. By the seeing of the meaning of the feast, you have been perfected forever. So there's only one story. And the whole idea, the rabbis teach that the keeping of the Sabbath is more important than even the temple. It's more important than anything else that you can do. Now, it says, if you kept every point of the law and missed one of the subtleties of keeping the Sabbath, it was though you violated the entire law. And if you spent your entire life violating all of the law and kept one Sabbath, then you had fulfilled the entire law. Is it possible that we can see in our minds that the Sabbath isn't a day of the week? We've culturally accepted that. Can you see that each day, that you can't have the Sabbath day and then not Sabbath days?
Why does God use all these different parables? Why all these different ways of saying the same thing? And what I saw was, it's like, instead of a whale eating a minnow, we're a minnow trying to eat a whale. We cannot apprehend that which we are apprehended by. We can try, but we're trying to eat something that's bigger than us. And this little mind has to be overcome by God rather than containing God.
Then you're just putting God in a stupid box. Remember how the Holy Spirit overshadowed? I mean, that's what has to come to you. We have to come to a place where we don't believe we're right, so we're not taking a stand. And then the Holy Spirit can overshadow us. And if there's nothing I can tell you that you don't already know. You know there's something wrong with, like, okay, we're going to dress up for Sunday, and we're going to go sit in a little booth or thingy. And there's something wrong with that. You know it. You intuit it. It's because the real you wants the Sabbath to be celebrated every second of every day. He wants you to stay totally in that rest where you're never, never, never out of that point of rest. Where you're walking second by second by second in that childlike dependence on the Father. The last word of this next issue is about all of the how-tos. The greatest enemy of mercy and grace are how-to. Because if I learn how to do something, then I don't have to be dependent on God. So how-tos are the greatest friend of the Antichrist. It's just sad to me. There remaineth therefore a rest, a Sabbath, to the people of God, because you're still working it. You believe your warfare is over, or do you believe you have to help him? Is Jesus Christ your life or your partner? It's very convenient for time, you know, we have to go through this point where we believe in him and now it's me and Jesus. We can really turn the world upside down. But the disciples turned the world upside down because they emptied themselves. Just consider. Just what you know about the Sabbath, about what you... You think that God would create the system where he would sort of, okay, one day a week you'll go and honor him, and the rest of the time, well, you'll say you're honoring him, I'm doing it in Jesus' name, but you're really not. You're doing it in your own name. Harry's convinced that God has called him to Maui. Our friend Danny Bass is convinced that God has called him to that ski resort. Where's God? No, God is.
Bonhoeffer said.
The Bible says that.
Calls you what?
Calls men to die. You're dead. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can't. You're not going to die. The Bible declares that all men died in the cross. The law of Christ constraineth us, for with us judgeth. One died for all, and we're all dead. So the Sabbath, the only time the Sabbath was kept perfectly, even by Christ, was in the grave. But he fulfilled it when he kept it in that perfect way. And so on his resurrection, then he is my life, and I partake of that obedience. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, therefore he is my life, therefore I am at rest. Therefore I abandon myself. Therefore I take no thought for myself. Therefore I take no thought for anything about me. It's only the people that don't believe that need a how-to. Do you understand that? They have a form of godliness, but deny his ability because it needs their help. And so then they've got to work it and learn all the principles. And they're doing the opposite of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is that even the very act of creating an idea is now submitted It's gone, up to God. And you can't do this. That's why the whole meaning of the continual cycle of sevens. You know, that the 7 days of linear time, so that on the seventh, finally, on the end of the linear, that for you, the end of the understanding of linear time, what do? You read the book of Ecclesiastes. Because you have, and you read it with understanding, because you have found out vanity of vanities. All is vanity. All, that doesn't mean ego. It means empty, futile, without function, purposeless. And you see, you know, it's not something you think about, it's just, you know. You've seen your drive for money and success and power and influence. It's all vanity. It's all empty. It must be if I got more, then I'd be okay. No. But what do? We want to put the name of God in all the things we want to do. Don't we, Gary?
God's working a little parable out in me right now. I was cleaning and jerking a piece of plywood around yesterday, and I ripped a muscle in this arm, my right arm, and now it's kind of useless. I can't even eat my cereal with it. And it's like it's really brought home, his right arm brought him the victory, and it's like my right arm is what I use to accomplish my stuff. And all of a sudden, I've been weakened incredibly to a stopping point almost. I mean, I can still do a few little things. But that parable really means something to me now, in the sense of I realize how much I use my own strength to accomplish what I come up with to do.
When Israel was in its place of most obedience and most joy, each week the thing that you've heard talk about, what happened on another feast, was that the maidens dressed in white and danced out to see what to say to the Sabbath. And welcome to the groom, the bride is ready. And that's what we are. We are corporately the bride of Christ. There's neither male nor female, bond or free, young or old, Greek or Jew. And we now have seated. We are seated with him in the heavens. We don't leave it. And so we are, in the spirit, we're dancing. Joy unspeakable, because we see, we sense his arrival, his perfection, his holiness, and nothing else can touch that. There's not a how-to in the universe that can make your heart stir. It just becomes boring, boring, boring. Most people are totally bored in church. Do you ever notice that? Maybe you don't remember. Most people are totally bored when they're involved with God stuff. They try to generate excitement. Because they've got themselves in the middle. They put them in the... Him, for me to live as Christ, to die as gain. Don't cheapen it by some little plan. The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us all things freely. By one offering, you've been perfected forever. I'm telling this to Glenn. Why gaddest thou about so much to change yourself? You see, it's finished. It really is. Your warfare is over. You know it in. With everything in you, enter the Sabbath and stay there. You're on the mercy seat right now. You're under the wings of the cherubim. You're protected. Need nothing but what he will freely give you. But he can't fight your efforts. As long as you're doing, he has to step back because of his humility.
That reminds me of the verse, Revelation, I knock on the door. Why, boy, she's knocking because of his humility.
Oh, yeah. And one of the funniest things in Genesis, one of the midrash on Genesis, the Sabbath complains to God, you gave a mate to everyone, well, I have none. God said, that is why I created time and space. You might have your mate, which is Israel, or not a little piece of land, it's Israel, she who sees God, who can't see God and live. It gives you a hint.
That's really in there.
What?
That's in the Midrash.
Mm-hmm. But please, don't neglect so great a salvation by leaning on your own armor of understanding for anything. You don't need to change. You don't need to do anything different. You should remain in the calling wherein you're called. Oh, the call of my God in my life is to go to Maui. Well, no, it isn't. God wants me to be a. God wants me to use my talents. No, he doesn't. God told me that. No, he didn't.
I could be on a boy ministry.
Yeah. You have a gigolo ministry. Anyway, take it, big guy. Anybody have any response? Crip, any thoughts, Cripple?
What's up, Crip?
What's up, Crip? Take a big guy. You got to go. It's safe.
Oh, I got some carpet in the back of my
house. Gary's not going to be able to help.
You don't have.